Let's perhaps begin by just very, very briefly, in a streamlined fashion, outline the core chiddush of the drasha that you've been learning, and then try to process and understand a little bit. The Rambam presents mitzvahs tshuva, hilchos tshuva, and then after seemingly having concluded his discussion of hilchos tshuva, he then segues to a discussion of b'chiru chavshes, after which he then restarts hilchos tshuva. You know, it's incredible how fundamental and elementary in terms of basic, not in terms of simplicity, how fundamental and elementary the question is, and the Rambam had to be very patient. He had to wait around 3/4 of a millennium before he would be understood. So what's the pshat that the Rambam divides Hilchos Tshuva into two different presentations? And specifically, he expands the Chi of Tshuva in Parak Zayin, post his discussion of B'chiru Chavshes, in Halacha Gimel, Al Tomar, that the Chi of Tshuva is only from Averus Sheyesh Bahen Maisa, Kegon Znus, Gezel, Gnev. But no, the Chi of Tshuva is also the Tzach Lechapes, B'deos Roz Sheyesh Lo. A person has to identify and correct whatever character flaws he has, whatever midos rosi he has, the Chi of Tshuva relates to that as well. So the Rav explains that the Rambam, in his presentation, B'chiru Chavshes, explains that the B'chiru Chavshes is unlimited. In the first few pakim of Hilchos Tshuva, one could operate with a limited understanding of B'chiru Chavshes. B'chiru Chavshes perhaps means that there are all kinds of internal and external forces that act upon us. Especially, let's talk about internal forces. We have a Yetzer HaTov, which sort of pushes us in one direction. We have a Yetzer Hara, which pushes us in a very different direction. And B'chiru Chavshes sort of allows one to adjudicate between those competing and conflicting forces. It allows one to align himself with one force and to the exclusion of another. And then in Perek Hey, the Rambam explains Rishus l'chol adam nesuna. Rishus doesn't translate as permission. Rishus translates as capacity, right? The word Rishus in Pirkei Avos have Zehivin b'Rishus. Rishus is the governmental authority, right? The government that has absolute, an autocratic government that has absolute power. Rishus l'chol adam nesuna, a person has absolute control over himself, not only to adjudicate between Yitzharim, but to change himself. And that's why it's on the heels of this understanding of not a limited version of B'chiru Chavshes, but this unlimited version of B'chiru Chavshes. Now the Rambam has laid the groundwork for telling us that the Chi of Tshuva is not only to sort of contain and suppress Midos Ra'os and not allow them to act out, but the Chi of Tshuva is to attack the Midos Ra'os themselves, because Rishus l'chol adam nesuna. The Lashon HaRambam is lahatos atzmo l'derech tova. Not just lalachos b'derech tova, but lahatos atzmo l'derech tova, which l'chol clearly means, according to the Rav's approach, even if he has some kind of predisposition in the other direction, and he needs to push himself, He needs to get himself on track, not just to go on the track. He needs to reroute himself. He needs to get on the track. But Rishus l'chol adam nesuna, he has that absolute authority. He's sovereign over himself to get on that track of derech tova. Or conversely, we also have the capacity to be mata atzmenu l'derech ra'ah. The Rav goes on to explain that that's why the Rambam held in abeyance and only quotes all the extraordinary Ma'amori Chazal extolling the Korach of Tshuva, that the Rambam presents them in Perek Zayin, because the Rambam understands that it's referring to a Tshuva which results, again, from this fuller, unlimited usage and application of Bechira Chofshis, not the more limited one with which a person could have operated earlier, right? It's clear that earlier, that's what the Rambam is describing, the Rav points out in Perek Beis, when the Rambam quotes the Gemara Yuma and gives us a snapshot of a Baal Tshuva. So the Rambam says that the opportunity for Chait presents itself again. Previously it had been Nechshal, and now everything is duplicated. Even Bahu Omei Bahavasova, even if he was Nechshal in Bia Asura, Hu Omei Bahavasova. So he hasn't changed himself. He has the same lust that he had when he sinned. So we're not talking about that the person is doing tshuva in the sense of changing himself. We're talking about doing tshuva in a more limited way. That instead of giving in to the Yetzer Hara, he gives in to the Yetzer HaTov. The Ma'amorim of the Mokham Sheh Ba'alei Tshuva Omdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Michol Lamo Gedola Tshuva Sheh Mekarebis Es HaGeula Ein Yisrael Negolim B'Tshuva. All those extraordinary Ma'amori Chazal are talking about this second type of tshuva, a tshuva that draws upon, again, the unlimited form of Bechira Chofshis. The Rav also says that what emerges from a careful reading of the Rambam is the Chilukei Kapara, which the Rambam had quoted in Parak Aleph from the Bais and Maseches Yuma, that when a person does tshuva for an essay, so then lozaz misham atshemochlumo, the kapara is immediate. Losa say has to wait until Yom HaKippurim. Chamuros require yisurim as well, and chal Hashem machmal etzlan, the kapara is not complete atshayomos. All those divisions, those gradations, are only from the tshuva of the first half of Hilchos Tshuva. But if a person is zocha to this tshuva where he affects change, so then the Rambam says, emesh, right? Emesh doesn't just mean yesterday. Lavan says to Yaakov Avinu that yesh le'el yodi lasos imachem ra, and emesh, your God appeared to me. Emesh means last night, as recently as last night. It hasn't even been 24 hours. Emesh ho'yazeh sonu imeshukatz, and yesterday he was despised, and today Hayom hu mudbak b'shchina, Ohr Nachmad hu mudbak b'shchina. So the Rav says that this tshuva even transcends the chilukei kapara. Okay, that's the sort of an outline of the core chiddush. And again, that the Rambam is telling us that the bechira chofshis is not merely that we have the ability and capacity to change our ways, but to change ourselves. Right? That a person through tshuva, again, the Rav calls this the tshuva of Perek Zayin, a tshuva of geula, and the earlier tshuva he calls the tshuva of kapara. The earlier tshuva it is a source of atonement. It's something great, but the tshuva of geula is even greater. A tshuva of the tshuva which emanates from a more limited usage or application of Bechira Chofshis, it changes actions. The higher order tshuva changes values. The lower order tshuva changes tactics. The higher order tshuva, it changes perceptions. Let's take an example to try to concretize. Let's say you have someone who, out of taivas mamon, because of a desire for wealth, say he embezzled or engaged in inside trading, whatever the financial crime might be. So he can do tshuva for this in either of two ways. He can either do tshuva, he can change his tactics. So from now on, instead of cheating, instead of looking to embezzle and or engage in inside training, so I'm going to work hard and I'm going to find good business opportunities and I'm gonna engage in savvy marketing and advertising, and I'll be able to make the same money, but I'll make it legally. So the person is changing his actions, he's changing his tactics. But there's another way that he can approach doing tshuva. He can approach doing tshuva that, whereas previously he was the type of person who saw wealth as a value, as something desirable, as something central in life, something to orient oneself towards, now he takes the heart. David HaMelech, Al Tira Ki Yasher Ish, Ki Yerbe Kvod Beso, Ki Lo V'Moso Yikach HaKol Yer Nachav Kvodo. He's not going to take it with him. There's no difference in the reality in the Beis HaKvaros. There's no difference between whether one was a billionaire or not. So that's not just a question of he won't embezzle, he won't steal, not just because he sort of changed his actions. He didn't just change his actions, he changed himself. He sees the world differently. When he sees the Kesef V'Zahav, so previously it was something which had great allure. It was something which is irresistible. and now when he sees the Kesef V'Zahav, it's Ofer V'Efer. In Yiddish as a saying, was is Geld? Geld is Blotta. It's nothing. It's nothing. Beyond what a person needs to live properly, it has no and do mitzvahs, it has no intrinsic value. So when a person does tshuva that way, so that represents not just a change in action, but a change in self. Not just a change in tactics, but a change in perception. He sees the world through a different lens. What the Rav is saying is, now, when a person affects that kind of change, what in effect he's doing is remaking or refashioning his own personality. That there are many situations in which we react in a sort of instinctive way, not premeditated, it's an immediate reaction. But those reactions reflect sort of a person's values, what a person has internalized. And what the Rav says is that a person can shape and mold his personality to such a degree that those, again, instinctive reactions will be a result of his bechira. Not his bechira at that moment, but his bechira in terms of the personality that he cultivated. Now the truth is that in this, again, he didn't apply it to tshuva. He obviously wasn't commenting on the Rambam. The Ibn Ezra famously, in his discussion of Losachma, you have that in the first source in front of you, where the Ibn Ezra says that many people ask, how can the Torah legislate Losachma? How can it be Echiya Adam Shal Yachmal Dov Yofi Belibo Kol Mashu Nechma Demare Einav? Now the Ibn Ezra's kasha is that it's an instinctive reaction. A person doesn't say Hinei Muchan Umzuman Lachmod. It's an instinctive reaction to be chomed. So how can the Torah can tell us don't act, because action is something deliberate. Okay, so deliberate and don't do it. The Torah said not to do it, so don't do it. But something which is just an instinctive feeling, thought, how can the Torah, again, a person is not releasing it intentionally, so how can the Torah legislate that? So the Ibn Ezra gives the following mashal. Ato etan lecha, mashal da. No, ki ish kvar yesh lo deya nechona. If you have a villager who's in his right mind, The villager knows that there isn't a chance in the world that he can marry the princess, and because of that, he doesn't covet her. Because human nature is such that a person only covets or desires what he thinks is attainable. What a person knows is unattainable. What a person knows is beyond reach. The person doesn't covet. Kasher, just as she yisave, aber al tachshav zeh hakfori shukeachem min hamishugam, she yisave sheyelo knafayim lo uf hashamayim. That a person would have to, nebuch, be totally deranged to think that, I wish that I could flap my... my arms and like a bird soar to the sky. A person only covets what he thinks is within the realm of possibility. So too, a discerning person knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person what he's supposed to have, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to someone else, it means that I'm not supposed to have, someone else is going to have. But how did this answer the Ibn Ezra's question? Again, the Ibn Ezra's question was that chimur is not a deliberate reaction. It's not something which I press a button and release. It's just something that happens instinctively. It happens even involuntarily in the moment. So the answer clearly is that the Ibn Ezra says that a person can and is therefore expected to internalize the belief to such a point that he makes it a part of himself. And if the person does internalize that belief, so then, the same way that the Rav is talking about, it colors his perception. It means that the same way a person naturally, because he knows that he can't that a person can't flap his arms and fly, so a person doesn't covet to do that. So the person internalizes and shapes and molds his own perception. So too, I know that what I'm supposed to get, I will get. What I'm not supposed to get, it's futile, it's futile to make any attempt. So clearly, the Ibn Ezra, again, you already have this kernel, Bezer Anpin. Again, this is so that a person can not only control actions, but a person can preemptorily control reactions. That a person not only is sovereign over his deliberate actions, but even what happens in the moment instinctively. In the moment, it may be involuntary, but from a longer, if you take a longer vantage point, which is more distant, it's very much a function of the personality that the person cultivates. Because the koach habechira we have, again, is not only this is what I am, so sort of let me... I have tivus moments. I need to control it. No, a person can change that. A person can change himself. A person can not only change the way he acts, a person can change himself. It doesn't mean that Reuven can change himself into Shimon. It doesn't mean Shimon can change himself into Reuven, but it means that Reuven can change himself into the ideal version of Reuven, and that Shimon can change himself into the ideal version of Shimon. The Rav mentions in the Drasha, and as he mentioned in the Drasha, this is a major, major yesod, that the source, it's both the source of Bechira, and therefore the source of Tshuva. The fact that Bechira Chofshes is unlimited, unfettered, is because no matter how a person has lived his life until now. So what a person does affects him. So how am I a free agent? So for decades and decades, I've been behaving in a certain way. So one would think that, you know, once the train is headed down the tracks with so much momentum that there are no brakes, that you can't make the turn, or you can't stop it by putting on the brakes. So how is it possible how does this koach ha-bechira, how is that sustained? Again, this koach ha-bechira, which allows a person to do a tshuva, which changes himself, how is that sustained? So the Rav says, because it's a yesod gadol in Yahadus, and he references that in Kabbalah and Chassidus, it's especially underscored, that there is a part of the person which remains pure and unaffected and unsullied by whatever chait there's been. And the Nefesh HaChaim has this ba'arichus in Shara Aleph, that even though maisa, our actions, affect the nefesh element of the soul, but the highest part of the nefesh element of the soul sort of remains, it transcends our actions. And even though dibor, even though speech affects the ruach element of our soul, but the highest element of ruach transcends that. So it remains pure. And even though machshava, thought, affects the neshama aspect of our soul, but the highest level of neshama, also it transcends that. So there's always something that remains pure, there's something that remains in its pristine state, and that's where the koach ha-bechira and the koach ha-tshuva reside. That's why, yes, on the one hand there is momentum, but on the other hand, the koach ha-bechira is not held hostage to that momentum. The moshel perhaps is as follows. If you think of chatoim as piling on weight, so it's true that if you're my age and there's an awful lot that's accumulated, it's a heavier lift than when you were younger. But the point is that the fact that it's a heavier lift doesn't, it means that the person will have to exert himself more. That's why the Rambam in Perek Zayin, when he's introducing this tshuva, he says, Nalocha alef lo'olam yishtadel odom lasos tshuva. Yishtadel b'loshem chazal doesn't mean to try, it means to exert oneself. Lo'olam yishtadel odom, yes, it requires an exertion. We're not describing something which is easily or casually accomplished. But the fact that it may objectively have become a heavier lift than it would have been for me 10 years ago or 20 years ago or longer, but it's still, the point is, but the capacity hasn't been compromised. Why? Because there's something in the nefesh which transcends the effects, even the deleterious effects of my simran. There's something in the ruach which transcends the deleterious effect of diburim ra'im. There's something in the shama which is unsullied, which remains pristine despite machshavos ra'os. And that's where the koach ha-bechira and the koach ha-tshuva reside. You know, different svarim have different terms for it. You know, the svasamis refers to it as nekuda primis in a person. But everyone agrees that there is neshama shenasata b'tahora hi, meaning that on one level it remains tahora. No matter what we do, there's something. There's an element. There's a component which remains tahora, and that's where the koach ha-bechira and the koach ha-tshuva reside, and that's why a person can, again, not only engage in the more limited tshuva of changing actions, but he can engage in the unlimited tshuva of changing oneself. The Rav emphasizes that it's not something which a person can subcontract. It's not something that's going to happen passively, even if we sort of make it our point to hear a shmooze, to hear shmoozen. It's a person has to do it for himself. In the In the summary which is presented in Al HaTshuva, this Gemara is not mentioned, but maybe B'shas Maisa it was. I don't know. If you take a look, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So Amar Rav Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya, Shelo Hiniach Zona Achas Ba'olam Shel Bo'al Lecha. He led such a depraved life. He visited every he consorted with every zona in the world. So even though it was a fortune, not all kis dinarin, v'holach v'aver aleh shiva naharos, what are the shiva medua gehenim? B'shas hergal dove hificha, omra k'shem she haficha zo, en ochozar slim koma, kach alazer ben dudaya en mekavlin osa v'tshuva. So she, the Zona, said to him that you're irredeemable. You've sunk so low, there's no way you can be Chozer B'Tshuvah. Let the mountains intercede for me. No, we have to daven for ourselves. That the heaven and earth, let them intercede with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should save me. Same answer. No, we have to daven for ourselves. Finally, after wherever he turns, he's told, no, we can't do it. That's the idea. The only one who can activate this incredible koach, which lies dormant within each of us, is ourselves. Each person for himself. Ein adov toloi ela bi. But how does a person do it? L'maisa tachlis. How does a person? I think we kind of understand. You know, the tshuva of a more limited version, if I used to steal, just don't steal anymore. I shouldn't put myself in a position where I have easy opportunity to do so. And if I was talking Lashon Hara, so again, I have to be very, very mindful. I have to think before I speak. If there were Bali Lashon Hara in whose presence, whose company I used to keep, so then I had to start keeping that company. So I understand how to change action. Lemaisa, how does one change oneself? So there are two approaches. We'll sort of present them as distinct and separate. In the real world, there's always an interplay between the two. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that we should, in almost all situations, avoid extremes. Mitzuvim anu lalachas v'drachim ha'elu ha'benanim v'em ha'drachim ha'tovim v'ha'yesharim sh'nem v'alachta v'drachav. So we should avoid the extremes. We shouldn't be ascetics, we shouldn't be hedonists. We shouldn't be rodef acha hamamon, we shouldn't be pursuing wealth, we shouldn't be so disinterested in money that we don't have enough money to live a dignified life. We should go b'drachim ha'tovim ha'yishon. Ketzed halacha zayin, v'ketzed yagil odem atzma b'deos elu ad sheyikol uvo. But let's say, no, b'teva, if you take a look at the beginning of Perek Aleph in Hilchos Deos, it's not here. So the Rambam describes, you know, that there are some people who love money, and there are some people who are totally disinterested in money, and there are some people who are big balei kas, and some people are very apathetic. He describes the different extremes. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalav has in his Sefer Meimorim on Shmona Prokem, he says, you'll notice how the Rambam doesn't describe a natural type who's just right. Doesn't describe a natural type who has the right mixture, the right blend. He says no one is born on target. We all have a voda of tikkun amidos. So which means, again, that what we're talking about in is not just changing one's actions. Ketzed yagel adam atzmo de'eselo ad sheyikavu bo. How does a person train himself in these traits? Ad sheyikavu bo. Not just that he'll successfully act that way, but that he'll have cultivated the midah. So the mitzvah is, again, not only... The mitzvah is not only to act in a certain way, the mitzvah is to be a certain way, right? Not only the mitzvah regulates not only one's behavior, but one's persona. You see that from Mahu Nikra Racham Afata Haye Racham, not just Afata Hisnahi Brachmanus, Afata Haye Racham. The mitzvah is to change oneself. And if Beteva one isn't a Rachman, so one has to change oneself. So how does one do it? V'keitzud yagul odem atzma v'deis eilu ad she yukavu bo yasa v'yishna v'yishalaj v'maisim sha'osal v'yadeir som tzoyos v'yachsu v'hem tomit ad she yumaseim kalim olav v'lo yeh v'hem torach olav v'yikavu hadeos b'nafsho. So the Rambam says one method of the way a person internalizes things, that he makes it a part of himself, he makes it a kinyan, that again, that he changes himself, it's a behavioristic approach. Again and again and again, if I'm stingy, if again and again and again I'll force myself to act with generosity, so initially it will be something artificial, it will be something which I'm doing which goes against the grain, and ultimately, it will be yikavubo, the midah will be implanted in the person, and what initially was burdensome, what initially was onerous, will become easy and natural. Yikavu hadeos b'nafsho. 99.99% of the time, the way that the tshuva of Perek Zayin happens is in a very slow but steadfast way. It happens through this approach of the Rambam. That's why also, based on the Rav's approach, the Rav comments more or less explicitly about almost the entire parak, but at least the way it's written up in the Alei Tshuva, the Rambam doesn't comment on Halacha Beis in Perek Zayin. Halacha Beis, I think that's here. Yeah, it's the last source you have on side two. La'olam yera adam atzmo ki'ilu hu nota lomos v'shama yomos v'shaita. A person should view himself not based on actuarial tables. So the average age for a male in America now is whatever. So I have so many years left. No, la'olam yera adam atzmo ki'ilu nota lomos. V'shama yomas b'shaito. V'nimtza omei b'chato. L'fichach yoshuv michato miyad. V'lo yomek sha'az kin oshuv. A young person shouldn't say, well, when I get old, that's the time to do tshuva. Shama yomas tarim sheyazkin. No one has a guarantee as to what their lifespan is going to be. Hu sheshlomo amar b'chachmasa b'chol eis yuvagadecha levanim. Right, the same way with the in Zechariah, the begadim tzoim, the soil garments represent chayt. So begadim levanim represent tahara. So this is a gemara in Shabbos. It's a mishnah in Shabbos. It's a gemara in Shabbos of shuv yom echad lefnei misascha. Do tshuva a day before you die. But why did the Rambam hold off with this maimer until Perek Zayin? This maimer, he could have quoted earlier in Perek Beis as well. So Elamai, the pshat is as follows. As the Rambam explains, in Perek Zayin, the Rambam is talking about a tshuva, which again, where a person taps in to that koach ha-bechira, which allows him not only to change actions, but to change himself. Ruba, the overwhelming majority of the time, that's a lifetime avoda. It's not an assignment that's due next Monday. It's not even an assignment in terms of completion that's due on Yom Kippurim. Because Ruba de Ruba, Yasa v'yishna v'yishalish, and notice in that Rambam, in Paragal Falacha Zayin, v'yachsuba hem tamid. It requires a tmidius, it requires a constancy, not just a consistency, but a constancy as well. When in Halacha do you have a chashash of Shama Yomus? So in general, in Halacha, we say that Shama Yomus, l'zman mu'at, lo chayashinan. We don't assume that a person who's not who's beneath a certain age, we don't assume in a halacha. We don't a kohen goes to work for the day. He goes out to the field. So maybe he had a heart attack in the field. So his wife, if she doesn't have his wife, shouldn't eat truma because she's only entitled to eat truma as an eshes kohen. So maybe she shouldn't have truma for lunch. No, shema yomas lo chayishinan. But if he says to her, if he gives a get and says that this is a get yom echad b'fnei misasi, so at some point he's going to die. We're not talking only about his man muad. So then we are choshesh that maybe the person would die. So when the frame of reference for doing tshuva is one's lifetime, so then that's where al pi din there's a chashash of shema yomos. When the concern for doing tshuva is, I have to do tshuva between now and Yom Kippur. So there's not a person is not choshesh. A person who's not post yimei zikna is not obligated. Al pi din there is no chashash. So in Perek Zayin, since the Rambam is talking about a tshuva, which is a process. It's a process which takes time. It takes years. The rabbi used to tell the story that Reb Chaim once told the rabbi's father, his son. So Reb Chaim was as, and this is below Guzma, was as outstanding, if not more outstanding, in his chesed than he was in his gaonus and in his Torah. The Reb Chaim's chesed is extraordinary. Nifla ad ma'od. So Reb Chaim once said to his son, don't think that I was born this way. Don't think that I was born this way. I had to work very, very hard on myself to become whatever I am. It's a long process. When you're talking about tshuva over the course of a lifetime, so then there is a din of shema, of chayishin and shema yomos. So realistically, this tshuva exists, but even though there is the possibility it can happen in a moment, right? The Rav goes on to quote, the Rambam says, emes hoyozeh sonui meshukot v'hayom umudbek b'shchina. It can happen in a moment. But ruba, it doesn't happen in a moment. Ruba, it requires years of hard work. For a person to really, really change himself, it requires, again, just consistent, concerted effort. Yasa, v'yishna, v'yishalesh, and v'yachsa tomid. Similarly, the Mesilas Yesharim basically talks about the same approach in the Hakdama. On the bottom of the first side, Achibo Zel Chibate Lamid of the Odom Eser Shel Yodu El Hazkira Masayadu Lahem Kvar Mufosim Etzlam Persim Gadol. I'm not coming to tell you any chidushim. Kilo Timtza Berov Dvarai El Advarim Shirov Bnei Odom Yodim Al Sam Velo Mistapkin Bahem Klal. So just parenthetically, this is not our Inyan now. Ramchal doesn't say that Mesilas Yesharim doesn't contain chidushim. He says to us, he says, you're not going to find chidushim there. He says, you're talking ma'od. He says, the way you'll somewhat superficially learn my Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, kilotim, so you won't find the chidushim. Again, he's certainly that's very different than saying that there are no chidushim. But he says, even on that level, he says, I recognize that that's the level in which most people are going to learn my Sefer, but afal pichein, it's of vital importance. Because we know it, but we're distracted from it. So what's the Eitza? Aval ha-to'eles, the second line from the bottom, Aval ha-to'eles yotzim in ha-chazara ola v'ha-hasmoda. the constant repetition, right? Constant repetition, that's the way a person internalizes. That's the way a person internalizes. So that's the first method to how one taps into this koach to not only change one's actions, but change oneself, not only to change one's reactions, but by changing oneself to predetermine letova, what one's instantaneous reactions will be in various circumstances. It is true, again, as the Rav highlights within the Rambam, that this incredible revolution of self can happen literally overnight, even in a moment. How does that happen? So it depends on two variables. It depends upon the degree of understanding and the depth of understanding. Again, the two variables are the degree of understanding and the depth of understanding. Moshe l'mad ov adama. So let's say you're trying to convince someone to eat a more healthy diet. So he can understand that trans fat is not healthy, or he can understand, no, it's going to clog his arteries and it's going to kill him. So either way he understands, but there are different degrees of understanding. That's one variable. The other variable is that whatever the degree of understanding is, again, this is an entirely different variable. Whatever the degree of understanding is, then the other variable is what's the depth of understanding. Whatever his grasp on the deleterious effects of the trans fat is, it can register superficially, or it can register profoundly. If the degree of understanding is great, and the depth goes down to the, it penetrates to the core of one's being, so then it can happen in a moment. That's what that Gemara we just looked at with Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya depicts. It can happen. Usually when one hears accounts of this, not always, but often it's associated with, maybe I should just say sometimes, maybe not even often, with a traumatic incident. A person drinks, and then in a drunken state, I don't know, he almost kills someone when he's behind the wheel, or something else happens. Sometimes there's a flash, and with the degree and depth of understanding are just so complete and so profound that the person, again, that change, not just change in action, but change in perception happens. What that implies, again, in all areas of Avodas Hashem, we can't be passive, and obviously Al Achas Kama V'Kama, in Avodas HaTshuva there's no room for passivity. It means that the more deeply a person understands chait, the more it doesn't just affect him on a surface level that will translate into change of action, but potentially penetrate and affect him as affect change in the person. Now, the Rambam in two places, I think you have it here. Yeah, if you take a look on the second side, the Rambam in two places speaks about how, if need be, tochacha is administered. Again, whether any of this is halacha, the ma'aseh b'zman hazeh is obviously a very different discussion. But the point will hopefully will be clear regardless of that. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Dalet, where the Rambam lists the 24 things which are ma'akev es ha-tshuva. 24 things which hinder. They don't absolutely prevent, but they hinder. They place stumbling blocks. They compound the difficulty of doing tshuva. So one of them is, if a person is sonias ha-tochachos, if a person hates rebuke, when rebuked, so right away the person turns a deaf ear, and if anything, he lashes out. The Rambam says, "Shehari lo niach lo derech tshuva." If a person is sonei tochacha, so then he's closing off the pathways of tshuva for himself. Shatochacha goremes the tshuva, because words of rebuke can catalyze the tshuva process. Shebizman shemodiyin lo la'odim chatoav. Now look at that next phrase of Rav Sech. Machlimen also. Machlimen also means not only embarrass him, but humiliate him. So lo neva shelo nikolem. Nikolem, Rav Ben Yonah says, is more intense than busha. Busha is shame. Klima is humiliation. Bizman shemodiyin la'odim chatov machlimen also. Is chozer b'tshuva. The Rambam says the same in Hilchos Deos. Earlier he said the same in Hilchos Deos when he says initially, obviously, one tries to affect it b'nei imus. Hamochiach es chavero tchilo lo yedabe lo koshos ad sheyachlimenu. A person doesn't begin by speaking harshly. Shenam ev lo sisa olav chet. Kacho me chachamim yochal after mochicho ufonav mishtanos. Talmud lomav ev lo sisa olav chet. But then take a look at the end of the halacha, and the Rambam writes, "Avol b'divrei shamayim im lo chazer bo b'seiser." Let's say the soft, gentle approach doesn't work. So in theory, if there's reason to think, l'fi amokom, l'fi azman, that this approach would work, in theory, what would one do? Avol im lo chazer bo b'seiser machlim in osel b'rabin. You humiliate him publicly. Umefarsim im cheto, and you publicize the chet. Umecharfin also b'fanav. Umevazin umekalin also. Ad sheyachzor lemutav kamo she'asu kol hanaviim b'Yisrael. So the harshness, and again, it's in our day and time. So this is relevant halacha lemaisa in terms of the insight it provides into tshuva, not into how one should give tochacha. I mean, even in the Rambam's day, one had to be a person who himself was menuka me'avam and doing it entirely l'shem shemayim. That was even in the Rambam's day, and in our day, you have to add to that whether people respond to that kind of approach. So it's not really halacha l'maisa. It's not halacha l'maisa in that sense, but it is very much halacha l'maisa in terms of the insight it gives. Because what the Rambam is, the harshness of the tochacha, as the Rambam depicts it, it's not just sort of a sheer of how to what lengths the mochiach has to go to be mekayim his mitzvah v'chayach tochiach. No, it's rather telling us the depth of understanding that you're trying to reach as deeply into the person as possible. If you deprive the person of his kavod habrius, that's what it does when a person's humiliated. So it means that the kavod habrius is totally stripped away, and the person is totally exposed. So that's intended to get to the core of the person. Because that's where the fullest tshuva can happen. And that's what this construct of the harshness of tochacha reflects, again, to try to penetrate through all the layers of insensitivity and to reach, again, that nekuda primis, to reach however one refers to that element which remains pure and pristine, that the person should be able to tap into it. The same theme, and with this we'll stop. The same theme which the Gemara in Avodah Zarah expresses as Eina Dava Toli Alavi. So the Mishnah Avos Hillel says Eina Nili Mili. So Rabbeinu Yonah has both in the Perush on Perkei Avos as well as in Shari Tshuva. He says, what does it mean Eina Li Mili? He says that we can and should learn that this drasha in Ala Tshuva, but that kishela atzmo won't accomplish anything. It's necessary, very very necessary, very vital, but not sufficient. Necessary but not sufficient. Unless a person takes ownership of now knowing what his mandate is based on this, and knowing what process he needs to initiate and try to, again, with consistency and constancy, stick to and continuously advance. So it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Just learning a drasha sort of is like getting directions. It's you know, you press the button on the ways, it tells you, it doesn't get you there. Well, something will invent that soon also. But right now, when you just press the button in the ways, it only tells you how to get there. It doesn't get you there. You're not a step closer. It shows you how to get there. But im eina nili mili. But then in terms of going on that path, so then that's something which each of us has to do for himself. Each of us has to do in a way that's healthy for himself, in terms of that there should be intensity. Tshuva requires intensity, but it has to be a healthy intensity. That there's also very unhealthy forms of intensity, Rachman Atzlan. It has to be done in a healthy fashion, but within those boundaries of a religiously, emotionally healthy way, im eina nili mili.